If you went on the trip and you're not planning on speaking, go ahead and stand up so they can see who you are. All right. All right, very good. Thank you, guys. We did have 19 people go on this trip. We did 8 studies. I'll talk about that, I suppose, in a little bit. Which one of you guys wants to go first? All right, whoever, just come on up. This was our trip to
the Canadian border.
We may have ventured into Canada for a brief second or two. Please do not tell the Canadian authorities because it's highly illegal to go into Canada right now, but our boats may have drifted over there a time or two.
Okay. On the way down, I thought everyone would be asleep, but that was not the case. Everyone was talking, cracking jokes, and playing road games. Shout out to Jaden. I saw so many great things on this trip. This really is a great group of kids. Everyone pitched in to help get groceries, pack coolers, pack the trailer, cook, and much more. One night we were on a boat, we were singing. I couldn't help but to look around and try to absorb it all in. All of the nature, people smiling, dancing, and praising God. I took a lot of things out of this trip. One being the power of prayer, and the other being I caught the biggest walleye.
Let your wife catch a bigger fish than you? Yeah. At least you caught something.
Good morning, everybody. So I'm not really going to talk about the trip. I know that's kind of what we're supposed to be doing, but I'm going to talk more about the kids, just briefly. So the trip was great, and the kids were even better. Usually there are arguments and disagreements along the way, or even just on the ride getting to where we're going. And I've been on several mission trips, and I think this is the first time that I didn't see any of that. All of the kids were a huge help. They helped with buying the food from the store, which was hundreds of dollars. It was a big project, and everybody chipped in. They filled the coolers and loaded them onto the trailer. They moved the coolers and the luggage and the fishing poles to the houseboats that we stayed on. The cooking teams did the cooking when it was their time to cook for the rest of the group, and the kids were there emotionally, both for themselves and for each other. I saw several instances of that. I'd say that there are two main goals on mission trips that we go on. The first and most important is to grow closer to God. And the second is to grow as individuals and develop stronger relationships with each other. And if these are what are needed for a successful mission trip, then I'd say that this trip was without a doubt a success.
So, as you notice, I don't have anything planned. Okay, so I'm going to be stumbling over words. But this was truly amazing. It was my first youth trip. There are a few things I learned. First off, society's expectation of spirituality was wrong. I learned that from the book Messy Christianity. The other thing I learned was how to swim. Thank you, Courtney. And there were many people that were pushed off the boats as well. Courtney. But not just Courtney. It was just amazing. We did fellowship, we cooked, we went fishing. You guys caught something, I did not. I just don't know how to describe it. I'm not good at speaking in front of people. But it was just truly an amazing trip.
So this is the trip that we do every 4 years. We do 3 years of mission work, sometimes inner city, sometimes smaller communities, where we go out and do some sort of project or Bible school or what have you. And then the 4th year, we do a spiritual retreat, which is houseboats on the Canadian border on Rainy Lake. It's International Falls, Voyager National Park. If you want any information on it, it's a phenomenal place to get away. So a couple things from this trip. We did study this book called Messy Spirituality. It's by Mike Iaconelli. He is a, I believe, Presbyterian pastor. He actually died in a tragic car accident. But I'd like to read to you the first part of this book so you know just a little bit of what the kids experienced on the trip. My life is a mess. After 45 years of trying to follow Jesus, I keep losing him in the crowded busyness of my life. I know Jesus is there somewhere, but it's difficult to make him out in the haze of everyday life. Yet for as long as I can remember, I have wanted to be a godly person. Yet when I look at the yesterdays of life, what I see mostly is a broken, irregular path littered with mistakes and failure. I've had temporary success and isolated moments of closeness to God, but I long for the continuing presence of Jesus. Most of the moments of life seem hopelessly tangled in a web of obligations and distractions. I want to be a good person. I don't want to fail. I want to learn from my mistakes, rid myself of distractions, and run into the arms of Jesus. Most of the time, however, I feel like I am running away from Jesus into the arms of my own clutteredness. I want desperately to know God better. That's the first half a page of what we studied for a week. We worshiped together. We studied together. We played together. We fellowshiped together. Played cards. We killed mosquitoes. You know, it's interesting. When I first started ministry, I've always been someone, and Jeff can testify to this, who likes to sing. I love worshiping. And my wife can too. And she kind of twitches her head when I say it. When we started ministry, if we could do something where we would sing 2 to 3 songs in a row, it was kind of a successful night. It was, yeah, you know, they worship. You know, 3 songs is incredible. I tell you what, there's something special. You see us sitting up on the houseboat. We'd do our Bible studies up top there. We'd do one in the morning and one at night. But we had a couple nights of worship. And it was fascinating. The very first night, I brought along 32 different songs. And you're out in the middle of nowhere. And we started singing, and over the course of 2 nights, we got through 31 of those songs, and some of them we did more than once. And we were doing 15 to 20 songs a night. Tell you what, when you're with a bunch of kids that want to keep singing, and want to keep singing, and they want to keep praising God, you just don't want to stop. But there's a problem in Minnesota when you're outside and it starts to get dark. And if you've been there before, you know that the mosquitoes come and they're viciously hungry. And they come and they dive bomb you. And so then we're on top of the boats and we have one ladder to get down. You know how long it takes 19 people to get down? A long time. And you know, being the leader, I try to do, you know, the leader thing and let everybody go first. You know, when they're starting to climb down and you just kind of want to kick them off the ladder like, hurry up, please hurry up. This is, and you know the worst thing, Bruce, about being bald and having really short hair is for some reason mosquitoes like your head. I'm sure you don't know what I'm talking about, but it's happened every time we've been there. But we're in the middle of singing, and I'm like, God, I'm praying, and I'm like, God, this is really cool. If you want this to continue, that would be really okay with me. This would be great. And so darkness is falling, and all of a sudden I see this mosquito, in front of me, doing the weirdest little dance. It's like it's dazed and confused. And if you look real closely at these pictures, when we get towards the end, you're gonna see one with a bunch of little blurry specks. Those are not mosquitoes. Those are dragonflies. And I don't know if dragonflies eat mosquitoes or if they like to torture mosquitoes, but I have never in my life seen a swarm of dragonflies that was almost like we had, you know, one of those little outdoor speakers. It was like, there it is right there. I don't know if you can see the specks. Those are dragonflies that just swarm to the music when we're worshiping. And so these mosquitoes, which would normally be swarming us, were just kind of dazed and confused and didn't bother us. And so we worshiped and we worshiped and we worshiped. And I tell you what, when you see things like that, I would almost call it a little miracle, acts of nature, whatever. It was pretty special to me. It touched my heart in a special way. Because Lord knows, we ended up singing about four or five more songs than what we should have, because normally the mosquitoes would chase us away. And the next night, it was kind of funny, because the mosquitoes did come in, the dragonflies didn't. And so what did we do? We went down and played games? No, we went down inside the boats, and they said, hey, let's sing some more in the boats. And so we worshiped in the boats. And I tell you what a special group of young people and adults who went on this trip. All in all, I can't say enough good about all of them. This is like the first trip where I don't know that we really had a problem. I don't know that anything really went wrong. Maybe they could tell you stories about stuff, but I didn't have people complaining about things. And you know, it's fascinating because our human nature would say, you know, I want to do what I'm doing. So they may be playing games or doing something, being in a conversation. And you know, twice a day we would get together when we would study this book, and we'd say, all right, go read chapter 4 now. And it's just fascinating to watch everyone just immediately kind of stop what they're doing and go do it. There wasn't pushback. And I don't know, it's just like this little glimpse of God doing stuff. And it touched my heart. Because normally it's like you got to get in that, you know, that mean guy voice. All right, guys, this is the third time I've told you it's time to go read your book. Because we have to. And it wasn't like that. It was they just did it. And you sense God's presence. And you sense that God's doing something. In spite of me, I'm just a screw up out there. I can organize these trips and go on them and put them on. But it's God that's doing it. It's not Matt doing stuff. Matt doesn't do anything. He makes phone calls and he puts together Bible studies and stuff, but it's God sending his Holy Spirit, his presence showing up. And so that same presence is so available. Are you receiving it? Are you following it? Are you letting God lead your life? Thank you so much, congregation, for your prayers. You know, that night with the dragonflies, what I didn't tell you is, I'm assuming things now, it was a Monday night, and my assumption was it was the night the elders met, and I'm going to just assume, since I wasn't there, that you guys were praying for our trip. And about the time those dragonflies came would have been probably about the time you guys were praying. And so, man, God is good. Boy, he's got a big plan for us. I hope you're enjoying what he's called you to. And I hope you enjoyed those who spoke today. Please grab them. If you have any questions, ask them. They would, I'm sure, be more than happy to share with you their experience. So.